Hello there. This is Wale Olulanu, the presiding apostle of Harmony Christian Ministries. I'm happy that you can join us today in our podcast. I pray today's message will encourage, edify, and illuminate your heart, wherever your circumstances may be. Please relax and enjoy.
Hallelujah. Genesis 39, we're going to read 19 to 23. This morning I'm using NIV. Genesis 39, 19 to 23. The Bible says, when his master heard the story that the wife has told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. There are things that people will tell you, whether it's true or not, it will just get your emotions out of the way. This master had an accusation about Joseph and he lost it. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, while Joseph was there, not when he had come out, while he was still in that position that the devil has put him, God still was not limited. Hallelujah. The Bible said the Lord was with him. God showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. This warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything that was under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph. Somebody said, "The Lord is with me." Hallelujah. The Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. May the Lord give you success in whatever you do. And that's to say that what you're going to do will be good things. This morning, the title of my exhortation is "The Wind Beneath My Swing." Somebody say that with me. The wind beneath my swing. Now, one of the things that has helped me so far in my journey with God and in my growth as a believer, reading the Bible day by day, is I try as much as possible to characterize the passage that I'm reading. I try so much to put myself in a familiar setting of that story. I bring that story to my setting today as much as possible so that I can do what I call the self-analysis. I can understand what is this passage telling me. I can understand what is this passage rebuking in my life. I do this because it's important for me to know it's not a story about them. God is saying something to me in my present day. How many people understand what I'm talking about? Unless you live like this, the scriptures will be like a storybook to you. It will be about Abraham and Sarah. It will be some things that happened to some old folk somewhere that has no relevance to you in this day. And I want us to understand that whether you are old or young, whichever century you live, the word of God is true. The word of God is written for your benefit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, it says, "Now these things happened to them as examples, and they were written down for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." Everything in the scripture was written down as an example for you and I, so that when we are reading them today, we may be able to say, "Wow, this is what God can do. This is a potential that I have in Christ Jesus." Now, whether you are young adult or you are old, whenever you encounter the story of Joseph, it's not possible that something will not happen to you. One of the things that will happen to you makes you to wonder, "Boy, what kind of individual is this? How did he do that?" One of the things that always happens when I read the story of Joseph is, I always wonder, how did he get away with that? How was he able to forgive that? So at some point today in this service, we're going to join Joseph on the golf course. Because as we are looking at the subject of swinging for deeper impact, we want to put Joseph in his life because he in his life also had a golf course of life as he was swinging. And we want to see, how did he do that? And how can we do ours? Any story in the Bible could be easy until you put yourself on the spot. You might think it is easy for Sarah to have waited all those years. You might think it's easy for Abraham to have waited. You might think it's easy for Esau or Jacob or any of the people you read about. In fact, we may be quick to judge them until you find out that what would I have done? If I was one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, what would I have done? After I mortgaged my house, I even gave up everything. Then I followed him. The guy says, I'm going to die. What would my friends say on Instagram? What would they say? Some kind of stories will be going all over the place, TikTok and everywhere. Look at them fools, Christians. So we have to be able to put ourselves in the story for us to be able to step back and say, hang on a sec. How would I have reacted? I always say to people that everybody carries a trait of betrayer. You might not know that. Until you are tested, you don't know. The disciples of Jesus Christ, all of them carry that trait. The trait of betrayer. Because when he told them, one of you is going to betray me, all of them were thinking, which one of us have been found out? If I say to you this morning, the one of you stole my pen, you are not going to get bothered because you didn't come near my pen. But if you did, you'll be thinking, oops, did he see me? Because when he said to them, one of you will betray me, the other say, is it me? Which means they all carry the trace. So the story of Joseph is one of those real life stories in the Bible that can be considered to be actually a complete Bible by itself. What do I mean? It's a story of a beloved father for his son. It's a story of a son that didn't do anything, but he got blessed. It's a story of a son that had a promise that he lived for, he hoped for, but the promise was delayed. At a point, it seemed like the promise was denied. Then at a point, the promise was delivered. The story of Joseph is a promise, a story of waiting. It's a story of patience. It's a story of endurance. It's a story of one that knows there is a superior being over his life. It's a complete story. And it's even more beautiful because the story of a one that went ahead and delivered his people. So when you read the story of Joseph, there are so many angles to it that can make deeper impact. We can only just look at a few of it this morning. The story of David is a story of Joseph. It's a story of forgiveness. Unusual forgiveness. Unexplainable forgiveness. It's one of those parts of his story that I ask myself, would I have been able to forgive my folks? Not sure. At least not that quick. Maybe I'll send them some kind of labor market for some time, since they didn't know it's me anyway. All kinds of things happens in my head when I read some Bible stories. So the story of Joseph is one of unusual forgiveness. Amazing story of deliverance from famine. It's a complete story. By the time you've studied the life of Joseph, as many of us may have done many times, then you will learn something about the God of Joseph, which is your God. He's a God that never forgets his promises. He's a God that never forgets what he has said about you wherever, regardless of where you find yourself. He's a God that never feels, this is beyond my reach now. He never feels that something is beyond his ability to do. And time is always on that God's side. That's the God that we have come to this morning. That's the God that's going to show us an angle for impact. Now, but if you're like me, there are parts of the story of Joseph that makes me wonder, God, help me. Like I just said, it makes me wonder, I'm not sure I can survive that long. Let me point some things out about this man. This guy puts a story on his Instagram page and expected it. Guys, let me talk to you. He expected the story to go viral. Can see my young guys are all scattered over the house this morning. That's great. That's how it should be. He expected the story to go viral, but rather he put a target on his own back by the story that he shared. You have to be careful what you tell the world. Many of us get a little breakthrough and we hit the social media. We expect the people to celebrate us, but the very people we are sharing it with, they're ready to take us out. And what happened about Joseph actually is the people that were after him were not people from outside. The gang that was after him were the people in his own household. How do you escape the gangs that are inside your father's house? They made up their mind they're going to finish him. They made up their mind he's not going to survive this one. So that's actually one of the part of his stories that make me to think, wow. Joseph went through some kind of stuff that you don't pray you experience. But what is amazing about Joseph? While they were busy planning his downfall, he was busy enjoying the goodness of the Lord. Because his focus was on something else. His focus was not on this earth, was above this earth. His focus was on a God who has shown him something. My dear friends, in your youthful stage and in your any stage of your life, never become too engrossed with what you see as to forget the promises that are above all. Joseph kept on looking above. No matter what they threw at him, he became a platform for him to stand upon. And that's one of the things which you and I are meant to learn in this service this morning. A point came that when they thought would have been the end of Joseph's dream, when they felt that they have cornered him and they're going to kill him, what they didn't know is that Joseph had a wind beneath his swing. They got him mugged. They tore his clothes, stripped him of his coat of many colors, and then they put him in a pit. They expected it's going to be the end of his life. But what they didn't know also is that there is a God, there is a wind beneath his swing that made them to actually put him in the path of his lifting. What they didn't know is that the pit they put him is going to be in the flight path of Midianites that are going to Egypt. And an idea is going to drop in their mind that let's sell our brother as a slave. So as they sold him as a slave, being dragged along by the caravan of the Midianites, and they were, God, good riddance to the devil. And he was thinking, I'm going away from my blessing. But he didn't know he was getting closer to the promises of God. I came to tell somebody this morning, it seems you are going away what God has planned for you. But if you are in God, I came to prophesy over you. This year you are moving nearer. You are moving nearer to the promises of God. God is about to unveil over your life that this is me. What I promise you, I'll be able to do it because there is a God who will always orchestrate things to work together for good for them who love him and those who are called according to his purpose. He was being pulled by the caravan as a slave. He had no seat, you must understand. In those days, when they pulled the slaves, they would chain them together. And he was going through the stormy, the dusty road and the desert of Egypt as they dragged him straight into Egypt. And I could imagine they were rejoicing. And Joseph could only think, but this is not in my dream. Maybe you are in a place this morning that something you are seeing is not in the dream that God showed you, but God said, I'm still in charge. I am still working out a plan, and I'll work it out in the fullness of time. It will unfold to you. It seems late right now, but I am a God who is never late. Somebody shout swing. He got to Egypt. And in Egypt, the Bible tells us that a man called Potiphar bought him. Bought him as a slave. And put him in a position that was not in his dream. Now you might look at that point and say, well, that's a good one. He was a boss in Potiphar's house. And that's one of the things that is amazing about a people with wind underneath their swing. That even when people see you in a lower position, you are still exalted. You didn't understand what I just said. You might be in a hospital, but your face is shining with glory. You might be taking medication, but people are thinking, can you just lay hands on me? Are you following me right now? You might be going through storm in your home, and people are calling on you for counsel. They don't know the kind of cross you are carrying. All they are seeing is a crown on your head. They are saying, you know what, you don't have any problem. All your children are well. Your husband is doing well. Your wife is doing well. Your children never really have problems with you. But they have no idea the kind of cross you are carrying. He was a slave. That's not the position God called him for. But even as a slave, he was preferred. I came to tell somebody, this year you are making impact. No matter where the devil pushes you, you are going to make impact. I say you are going to make impact. Whether here or there, up or down, you will make impact. Because there is a wind that cannot be stopped. There is a wind that cannot be shut down. There is a wind that comes and no man can shut it out. It's the wind that will cause you to make a swing. Somebody shout swing. I'm looking at various parts of a story that I would have wished we can cover. He was in Potiphar's house. That was not in his dream. He was a prince in his father's house. He had slaves. He had servants in his own father's house. But now he is a slave. He had coats of many colors. But now all he goes around is with just bare clothes covering his essentials. He was one that they served him food in his father's house. Now he had to make food for the master. He didn't have to wake up early in his father's house. He didn't have to do many things, but now he had to be the first to wake up and the last to sleep. All that was gone. Now a slave. Now, the point of thing is, many people, when they find themselves at a point in life that was not their expectation, that is the point that many people stop to swing. Because now he's a slave. He has a reason not to complain. He should claim victim mentality at this point. He should say that, well, you can see where I've been pushed to in life. This is not my choice. This is not my fault. Is it my fault? It's not my fault that I came last in class. It's not my fault that my parents didn't love me. It's not my fault that this thing happened. It's not my fault that I'm not married. It's not my fault that I didn't get a job. It's not my fault. He can see that the country is against me. Everything is against me. It's against my complexion. It's against my skin color. It's against everything about me. He could have claimed that people were against him. But what's about this man is that he realized that certain things, that while you can sit down there and be mourning, he needed to use every opportunity as God to give it his best swing. Now, my best swing might not really please you, but I'm going to give it a best shot anyway. All you need in life is to give every opportunity your best shot. Your best shot is all God expects of you. Your best effort of walking towards him. Your best effort of seeking his face. Now, I might not be able to pray like you, but I'm making efforts. Do you understand this now? I might not be able to give as much as you, but I'm making effort. What God does not want is a believer that does not make effort. He doesn't want a Christian that doesn't make effort. He doesn't want a young person that doesn't make effort. You got to rise up. You got to begin to make effort. I might not be able to swing like the best person around, but I will still try. Because when I put in my little effort, God says, even in my weakness, he is strong. He is strong. He is strong. Now, one of the challenges that many people face when they find themselves in that kind of situation is they get stuck to the mistakes and the failures of yesterday. Because the last time I tried, my ball went in the wrong direction. How many people have ever tried in life and their ball went in the wrong direction? You tried the business, it went in the wrong direction. You tried a relationship, it went in the wrong direction. You tried marriage, it went in the wrong direction. How many people am I talking to this morning? You tried faith, you felt it went in the wrong direction. So how can I try when every time I try, it seems that I'm not good enough? One of the things that will hit you when you get to a golf course is that it will amaze you how the ball can go in the wrong direction. I thought I had a good aim. I thought I had a good aim. Because it's not just to hit the ball.
It's not just to hit the ball, the frustration of playing golf. No, I mustn't get there yet, because you have to get something. Before I go further, still looking at the story of the kind of things that he survived, I want to talk to Josephs that didn't quite survive Potiphar's wife's advances. I want to talk to some Josephs in the house that didn't quite make it. The people that couldn't really say no for a long time to Potiphar's wife. You found yourself caught in that web. And Potiphar's wife is not only sexual. It will be different advances in life, different temptations in life that made you to feel, I failed God. And all you are left with right now is guilt. You are left with the guilt of what you didn't survive.
What are the things that happen to you when you are caught in the trouble of Potiphar's wife or Mr. Potiphar? Is that you go around with guilt. But the Unified Praise told us this morning that the guilt, the yoke of guilt is broken. They told us this morning that the bondage of sin is broken. But when you are caught in that web, the devil whispers to you in this ear, who are you to still have a dream? The last time you tried it, you failed. Who are you to even lift up your hands? Because the last time you did, you know what? You cut with that hand. Who are you to still believe that God can hear your prayers? So when you have found yourself falling, not like Joseph survived, but this kind of Joseph that didn't make it. They're the ones I want to first of all address before we get to the golf course. I want you to know that Satan is a liar. He's the father of all lies. Someone may say, how can a believer find himself in that position and still be a believer? Have you ever done something that you wish you could roll it back? Have you ever done something that you wish you could roll back time? But see, because you can't roll back time, the devil keeps on reminding you of that time. So the scripture is very clear about what God has done with time and what he has done before time. The Bible tells us clearly. And one of the people that dealt with that is Apostle Paul himself. Apostle Paul, one of the foremost apostles, told us that there is a war going on in our members. While I want to do good, evil is present with me. Now, does that therefore suggest that I should always say yes to the evil? No, he told us what it's all about. He exposed the tricks of Satan. The Bible tells us that we cannot remain in sin. And said, great Father, and said, God forbid. But what is amazing is, why we do not take grace for granted? He told us clearly that we should no longer live to sin. But what does that mean? In Romans chapter 4 from 1 to 8, Romans 4, 1 to 8, the Bible says, what then shall we say Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? And you must understand when he said in this matter, he was referring to a matter aforehand. And I don't have enough time to go to chapter 3. What is it that Abraham, not Abram, what is it that Abraham believed? He said, what did he find? What did he discover? He said in verse 2, if in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. So my friends, if it was because I have practiced so much and I'm so good, then I have something to boast about. I'm the best golfer in town. He said, no, that's not the reason. Because he who has practiced is entitled to their merit. He who has done the work, we should give them the credit. He said, but what does the scripture say? He said, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. He believed God. So righteousness was credited to him. Are you following this so far? It wasn't just because he knew how to play. Yes, he played. You can never remove the effort, the works. But it's not the works that qualified him. Be very clear. So you can't say there should be no works. It's all by grace. Because that's the extreme that some of our friends find themselves. I don't need to do anything. And if it doesn't matter what I do. If it doesn't matter, then we shouldn't have found Abraham having to prove some stuff that God said, now I know. Do you understand this now? Because if you are going to stay on Abraham, then we can stay on Abraham. If you're going to stay on Joseph, we can stay on Joseph. He didn't do anything to know how to dream or interpret dreams, but he worked on what God gave to him. So young folks, while there is no condemnation to your life, if you are in Christ Jesus, adult folks, while God cannot condemn you and he does not condemn you, but God still expects some level of responsibility on our side to what we have received. He says here, Abraham believed God, it was credited to him for righteousness. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. Because you worked, you should be entitled to your wages. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies who? Talk to me, church. God justifies the ungodly. Their faith is credited as righteousness. So David says the same thing. So not only is this passage about Abraham, David also confirmed it, that when he speaks of the blessedness of the one to whom God credits righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven. You are blessed this morning. If you are like me, my transgressions are forgiven. And so you are blessed. I'm blessed. Amen. Amen. Whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never. Somebody say never. Never. Will never count against them. So what does this really mean? If I have a war in my body, if I have a struggle in my body, it is an indication of there are two governments. Because he who is in sin has no trouble. He who is in sin, he who is not with faith, he who does not have the Spirit of God, has nothing to be sorry about. I don't think you got me. The fact that you know this is not right. The fact that you know I shouldn't be doing this. The fact that you know that this is beneath the grace I've received. It's an indication that there is a flicker of light somewhere in your system. Amen. Because a sinner has no sense of sin. He sins. That's why he's a sinner. And I don't have time today to tell you about my story and the underground. Because every time you are sinning, your consciousness is telling you this is wrong. This is wrong. No matter how much you try to shut it down. But a person who is a sinner, doesn't. When you tell them this is wrong, they say, I was wrong. Many years ago, Minister Sam met a man in the hospital. The man's wife was there for all kind of story, you know, all that, lost his pregnancy. So Minister Sam was saying to this man, he said, a life of sin, this kind of thing you are doing is wrong. Tony Blair was the prime minister back then, for you to know how old Minister Sam is. The man said to him, he said, Pastor, everybody does fraud. Even Tony Blair does fraud. He was saying to this man, the life of fraud is bad. So a sinner has no sense of sin. He is in his natural habitat. In fact, he will say to you that, so why are you looking at my own? Do you understand that? Do your own, I'll do my own. That's a sinner. But a person who has the Spirit of God understands there is a war going on in my system. But here is the thing. Where the war going on in the system now becomes guilt. That's where God is saying, but that's not where I put you. Because guilt is not what God wants you to have. Repentance is what God expects of his children. Amen. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 now tells us. We now need to get to the Gulf. In Romans chapter 5 verse 1 tells us, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Somebody say peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now there are three types of peace which we'll find in the life of Joseph. Three types of peace. The first one, he has the peace with God, like we just said now. What does it mean to have peace with God? It means there is no issues between me and God. Have peace with God. There is no enmity between me and God. There is no wall of separation between me and God. If you're under the sound of my voice this morning, I do pray that you have peace with God. That you would understand that God does not want you to be a person that feels that I cannot approach him. I can't approach God. I can't speak to God or speak about God. If you are that kind of person, you need to give your life to Jesus. Peace with God. How many people remember when they were much younger and then you've done something naughty at home, you ran out of the house because if your dad ever got you. And then you now say, hey, it's getting late. Come inside. You say, no. You are waiting for your dad's friend, an intercessor, to come and visit him in the evening so that he can go inside. How many people know what I'm talking about here? So that he can go inside and then speak. Oh boy, that was your day. Oh, I even saw my son outside. You are hoping. Because right now there is no peace with daddy. And that's the thing. We use that to relate to God. Because we are always looking for a friend to come. But that friend has come already. That friend has done it already. That friend has spoken on your behalf already. That friend has gone in into the Holy of Holies. He has shed the blood. That you have peace with God. And that peace is forever. The Father sees the peace that the Son made. So we have peace with God. The second thing that is important about it is the peace of God. People didn't understand what to make out of Joseph. How can he be a slave and he's smiling? How can you still be smiling in this condition we found ourselves? How can anybody laugh when things seem to be falling apart? It's because of the peace of God. I can still go to the golf course of my life because I have peace of God. The peace that didn't start from me. The peace that didn't originate from anything I've received on this earth. The Bible tells us in Philippians 4, 7. It says, and the peace of God that surpasses. There are two things I want to pull out from that verse. The peace of God that surpasses all human understanding will guard your mind. Surpasses simply means you can't explain why Joseph can still be happy in prison. It doesn't make sense. How can you be sharing Bible passages and you are witnessing to people who are in prison for crying out loud? This guy is on death row. And you are happy. You are telling people that Jesus is Lord and he loves you. What? You are about to go in for an operation. You don't know what's going to happen. And you are saying Jesus loves you. He's good. How can he be good? And you are about to go to the hospital. Have peace of God. It surpasses all human understanding. Surpasses means you can't rationalize it. Surpasses means it's not one that you can say it's because of this. That's why they are happy in church. Not because they have got 3 boosters or 5 boosters. It's just because they know that he's God and he loves them. He said it will guard your mind. What do you mean guard? That word guard is a military term. It will garrison. It will keep it from any infiltration and external influences. May the peace of God guard your heart. This year, in the name of Jesus, May God keep you from falling. May God keep you from wailing in the name of Jesus. No matter what the news of Emiron or Omiron or next one or Delta or Abita or wherever they are. May the peace of God keep you. May you not imprison your future because of what the world is saying. He said, well, guard your heart. Why is it important for Joseph? We're about to meet him on the golf course. We're not there yet. It's because for you to hit well, you need to have a calmness of mind. And you don't get that if you are full of anxiety. That's why you see golfers when they stand. Because for them to be able to shoot well, you see they take their time. Nobody is saying to you that now your time is up. No. When you're on the golf course, you see everybody takes their time.
Unless you join Joseph. And that's what we had to do. We had to become his caddy to understand the secret. So, the peace of God. So you see golfers will take their time. Meanwhile, you on the TV, you are like, go on, get on with it. But the guy is like, he's taking his time. Only a person with the peace understands that nothing at all. That's why even the bird fly can't change their focus. Because they are operating on something else that is above this world. So you see, the entire golf course goes quiet. To understand the impact the wind made to Joseph, you have to understand the requirements of professional golfers to be able to make any successful claim to anything. Number one, this man, Joseph, he had to have the right standing. The right stance. What is the right standing? In other words, he must get it right. So they tell you that your shoulder, your knee, and your feet have to be right. That's the thing. So you don't wake up in the morning and turn yourself to a golfer. But Joseph woke up and he became a golfer. Not just a golfer, the best of them. Because he had the right standing. What is the right standing? The right standing in God. My dear friend, it's about having the right standing in God. When you have the right standing in God, nothing in this world can disqualify you. For you to be a professional golfer and you are signing up for all the best tournaments and championships, the PGA and the rest of them, you need to have the right uniform. This man, Joseph, all he had was slave clothes. His robe of many colors had been stripped off. And we are looking at him. We want to know what is the secret of his life. How was he able to make a swing that the world could not even believe? How did he make such an impact? That all we know is everybody makes a swing and it goes off way. But he made a swing and the thing hit the right pot. Now, how did he do that? Because he had the robe of righteousness covered by the blood of Jesus. Somebody here need to understand, if you're going to make the right swing in life, the wind beneath your wing, we are coming to that swing right now. Because God has covered him. That wherever you go to, I will cover you with my glory. This man, Joseph, for him to be able to sign up in this tournament, we've been hearing of his name. We've been hearing of all the great things he's doing. What is going on about him? He needed to be cleared of all wrongdoings. Because criminals don't sign up for this kind of tournaments. You don't join a golf club as a criminal. It is a place for elites. But he came in there, cleared of all charges. Even though he was still in prison, he was making impact. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has cleansed you. Somebody here needs to understand. While the world is looking at you and you are looking at yourself, I don't think I'm qualified. God said, I qualified you. I qualified you. I qualified you. I shed my blood for you. You need to enter this tournament knowing fully well that there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. for you to be able to make the right swing, you need to have the right tools. You need to know the drivers. You need to have all the kind of tools that you need. Everybody knows. That's why they carry the big bags around. They have different tools for different things. And so you wonder, well, why they carry the bag? It's because there are different tools required for different occasions. You need to have the different tools. You need to know how to package yourself. That's what the world knows. But listen to me. He didn't have any tools. All he had was the gift of God on the inside of him. You must know that what you need to make impact this year is on the inside of you. You just need to know how to walk it. Somebody say, walk it. You need to know how to walk it. You need to understand that the journey is far. And therefore, bring out the tools of grace, tools of prayer, tools of perseverance. When you need to pull them out, you have it within you. When he was born with it. All he had to do right now was walk it out. Lastly, somebody asks, this guy, or two more things. You needed to have a firm base. Because if you are going to get into this tournament, we need to know your name. We need to know the people who are going with you. Where have you been? I think someday I'll tell you about a man called Elder something. It's a black guy, the first guy. Whoever knows his name can remind me of the second name. He was the first black man that actually made it to the PGA. He was not given a chance. He didn't fit into the category because that was a group that was made for Caucasians. Lee Elder, that's his name. This chap, he didn't have any training. They didn't give him a chance. He didn't have any fan base. But what he had was the approval from Joseph, approval of heaven. But Lee Elder, he just believed that there's something about him as he followed around all his masters and he carried the bags as they are carried. And whenever they were not looking, he kept on practicing. When opportunities came and they tried him many times, if he signed up, they sought his life to kill him, just like they did for Joseph. Listen to me, friends. If you're going to go any far in life, don't think life will just be offered to you on the platter of God. Don't think I don't need to. I mean, it's God. Let God do what God will do. Joseph realized that people after his life, but he understood he was in a covering of God, so he didn't put himself in a position where their evil arrows were locating to. But what is amazing the most about David, about Joseph in this story, is for you to sign up to this tournament, you need to have a target. I want to win. Do you know the goal in the heart of Joseph? Was just his delight was in the Lord. He didn't understand about cops. He didn't want any. It was not about money. If your passion in life is about the money you want to make, it's about the name you want to make for yourself, you cannot swing far. But you must come to a point in your life where your delight will be in the Lord. And that's what David said in Psalms 37, from 4 to 5. Psalm 37, 4 and 5. Put that out for me quickly. Psalm 37, 4 and 5. It says to us very amazing, quickly. And this was the guiding principle. And when you see Joseph, when he was tempted in every situation, he said, how can I do such a thing against my God? His focus was God. He said, take delight in the Lord. Go to verse 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy what? Safe pasture. The key to safe pasture is in knowing fully where I am trusting in the Lord. Then in verse 4, he said, take delight in the Lord. In other words, delight yourself in the Lord, not in the cup. Not in the tournament. Delight yourself in the Lord. Not in the name you want to make for yourself. Delight yourself in the Lord. And he will give you what? The desires of your heart. So as we studied Joseph that day, we realized that these characteristics are the things which he didn't have, but he had in a different way. we now found out the summarized part of it is in Genesis 39 that we read. The Bible says in verse 21, it says the Lord was with him. Someone said, the Lord is with me. Every time Joseph hit the ball, the presence of the Lord was with every swing. This year, in the name of Jesus, as you step out, as you come out, as you make your proposals, as you make your presentations, as you go to the street, as you come in and go out, I pray the presence of God will go with you. The wind beneath your swing is the presence of God. The Bible said the Lord was with him. He was in the prison, but the Lord was with him. He was in the pit, but the Lord was with him. He was in the hospital, but the Lord was with him. Wherever you go, it's important. You know the Lord being with you is much more than who else is with you. The Lord was with him. Let this be your prayer this year. This is a wind that nobody can question. This is a wind that nobody can write out. The Lord is with you. Number two, the mercy of the Lord was with him. The mercy of the Lord, NIV calls it the kindness of God. The mercy of the Lord was with him. Friends, how can you successfully swing in life without mercy? Mercy of the Lord. Why is this important? Because the accusation against Joseph is one that was not disputed. There are things in our life, friends, that we can be accused of, whether we are guilty or not. The authority that wrote it against you may be more powerful than you. I don't think you understand what I just said now. If somebody said to you are guilty and you can't prove you are not guilty, it was only you and that person in the room. Only the mercy of the Lord can save you. If somebody said, well, I've assessed your proposal and this is my conclusion, it may be their own judgment, but they are the one with the rights. But where the mercy of the Lord comes in, God will say, I know what you did wrong, but I'm marking it correct. This year, I receive the mercy of the Lord. In all that you do, receive the mercy of the Lord. In your doing, receive the mercy of the Lord. There is nothing above the mercy. When mercy comes, it will clear you of all wrongdoings. It will clear you of all accusation. It will clear you of all the thoughts of men. The mercy of the Lord. It was the mercy of the Lord that Joseph received. It was invisible wing that people didn't understand it. So every time he made a swing, the mercy will carry the ball. Boom! Mercy will tailor guide it. Mercy will ensure that it goes to the right place. Mercy will make sure that this year you don't fail. Mercy will make sure that this year nobody can successfully accuse you and get away with it. Mercy of the Lord. It will keep you from infection. It will keep you well. 1,000 is falling here, 10,000 here. Mercy will keep you well. Mercy will save you as you go out. Mercy will save you as you come in. In the name of Jesus. You won't be able to explain, how did I escape it? My colleagues at work, they had this infection. The other person in the car, they had that infection. But how did I make it? Despite all my underlying conditions, mercy! I plead the blood of Jesus over your life. Mercy will speak for you. Mercy will avail for your children. Mercy of the Lord. It's by mercy. He survived it by mercy. It is a wind that nobody can question. The wind beneath my swing. Last but not the least, the Bible said he had the favor of God. You must understand something about God to know why favor is important. Because sometimes when the ball is rolling or the ball is about to land, it can land in the wrong places. It can land just an inch short of the pot. Do you understand this? It can land because something little obstructed it. That's why they always clear the ground. But watch this. If favor is there, God can make those things to actually help you push the ball in the pots. Favor. favor of the Lord will make you to come into a position that where things could have worked against you, God can make the wind to flow in your direction. On the day you are going to play, God can make the wind to blow in your direction. This year, it will blow in your direction. It will blow for your favor. It will blow for your timing. That interview will be for your favor. Somebody will cancel their own appointment so that it can be your own appointment. Favor will be your portion in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Favor of God will make men to see you differently. The Bible said he had favor from the prison warder. What does that really mean? It means when everybody saw whatever they want to see, there is this person that God will make them to see differently. It's favor. Favor will say, you know, I don't even know why, but I want to give this thing to your company. I don't know why, but it's you that I've chosen. I don't know why, but this property you want to buy, but I, if you can just add a little thing, it's you I want to give it to. This contract is you that we're going to give it to. Favor of the Lord. Somebody receive it today. In the name of Jesus, receive the favor of God. The favor of God that no man can question. The favor of God that no man can take out. The eyes of the Lord shall be upon you in all your journey this year. That where men encounter you, they will encounter favor. In the name of Jesus, God will cause his face to shine upon you. In the mighty name of Jesus. This is the story of Joseph in his early days. We're about to see where this is taking him to. Because when we talk about deeper impact, we are talking about an impact that is beyond human ability. It will take these three dimensions: the presence of God, the mercy of God, the favor of God for your projects, for your next level.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. We do hope you have been blessed. Our special thanks go to all our partners who give generously to support our ministry. You are welcome to be one of us. If you'd like someone to talk to you on any of the issues raised in today's message, please do call us on +44 208 597 1110, or you visit our website on www.hccenter.org.uk. May the peace of the Lord guard you and keep you till we meet again.